we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Well, hello, our wonderful, wonderful audience. It's just always so good to be rooted in meeting with you on our TV show or on this, our radio show. I'm Peter Bregan.
And I'm Ginger Bregan.
And my voice, as you can tell, is the softer, quieter voice. I don't know if that's age or allergy. What do you think is going on, honey?
Whatever it is, it's fine.
It's fine, okay. Well, this is America Out Loud Pulse. And we're on the platform of America Out Loud, both with this, our only joint radio show or joint appearance every week. And it's at Thursdays at 6 p.m., 5 p.m.
I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
That's,
well, our guest won't know.
That's Malcolm's job, honey.
Okay, wherever Malcolm puts us, we're part of a terrific show of people who are on at 5 p.m. every weekday talking about medical and expanded ideas. I want to tell you that America Out Loud is the most important general platform for radio, and Malcolm is moving in to videos and for columns that I know of. And you can hear me, and you can hear Ginger here, of course. You can hear Peter McCullough on America Out Loud. Pulse, in fact, on Wednesdays at 5. You can hear Alexander.
Paul Alexander.
Paul Alexander, our dear friend and wonderful person, on the weekends. You can hear Lee Valit many different times. A great physician. And by the way, just mention Lee Valit. She has a website called Truth for Health. If you want to keep up with what's your best alternatives for treating COVID, things like that, and also some of the most interesting and scary things going on in America today in medicine, go take a look at Lee Valit's truthforhealth.org. Now, consistent with that, our guest today, James Roguski, is, I think, one of the most important people in the health freedom movement. Here is a journalist who is devoting himself full time to trying to keep up with maybe the single greatest threat we're facing right now that not enough people are talking about, which is the empowering, the militarizing of the World Health Organization, the weaponizing, whatever word, the gargantuizing of the World Health Organization. How our path originally crossed with James. Ginger and I had discovered way back in January, early February of last year, that there were plans going on in the Biden administration to work with the World Health Organization. And there, a lot of people were also already excited about this. The entire EU, all the globalists wanted to just make treaties handing over their health sovereignty at the behest of the criminal communist Tedros, who's director general of the WHO. The WHO basically is told what to do by an odd combination of Xi Jinping, the head of Chinese communism, and Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, and the people that we call the Western Empire. They all contribute money, and they all determine who's going to be the next director general. And Tedros now, when his second term came up, nobody dared even offer themselves as an opponent. He was unopposed because behind him were both the Eastern and the Western empires. And what these empires ultimately want to do is destroy the constitutional democracies of the world, and they're well on their way. So we got into looking at these treaties and we're going to talk some about them tonight, maybe a lot. And then while we were thinking about all this, our focus was just co-opted by something more urgent. James Roguski found out that the federal government, and I'll let him talk more about that, but he found out that while the treaties were being talked about and we were trying to get that out to the world, they're called agreements to try to bypass the Senate, but these agreements were going on. He discovered that the Biden administration had, with no fanfare whatsoever, submitted a series of changes of amendments to the international health regulations that govern WHO, effectively unleashing Tedros or any director general to run roughshod over the really the nations of the world. And those amendments, he led a tremendous response. And this is James Roguski, and why I think he's so important. Tremendous response. Ginger and I joined in. Other people joined in. The African nations joined in, some of them, to stop amendments which would, fostered by our government, you got to get this, folks, fostered by our government and supported by about 40 other nations, including the entire European Union and India and Brazil, to give up their sovereignty at the whim, the say-so of the World Health Organization, and not just in response to a pandemic, but to any kind of health concern, health threat or concern. And James has got the language on this down pat, knows a great deal about it. Thanks to Mr. Roguski. And by the way, since we're on the radio, it's Roguski. Did I get it right, James?
Yes,
Roguski. And due to his really getting this word out and getting on TV and us following up and other people getting involved, they were afraid to actually put together that whole awful series of amendments when the time came in May with the meeting of the World Health, what is that called, Jim? The
Assembly? World Health
World
Assembly.
Health Assembly, which is the governing body of the WHO. So I wanted to give that flash background. And now James Roguski has been just putting together other stuff, including the latest draft of the direction that the treaty people are going in. And it's a nightmare, folks, a nightmare for freedom. Sir.
Well, let me say something that will appear to be contradictory, but it's not, okay? I'm actually very optimistic about what's going on in the future, but it's way worse than you described.
Okay? I haven't tried to describe it. I'm leaving it up to you. I'm leaving it up to you, sir. That was an introduction to you.
What the Biden administration proposed last year compared to what is currently being discussed, literally currently this week, in Geneva by the Working Group for Amendments to the International Health Regulations, last year looks like a childhood tea party compared to what they're talking about.
Now, you're talking about the amendments, not the treaty.
I pretty much don't even want to talk about the treaty at all.
Well, let's go then, because I'm not there. You're the expert. Go right. on
and,
that.
And so if anyone else out there hears anybody else talking about something that's referred to as a treaty, let's talk about that next week or the week after, because what's going on right now is the proposed amendments to an existing agreement that has been in place for as long as I've been alive, and quite frankly, as long as everybody's been alive. It goes all the way back to the 1800s sometime. They're amending existing international law, and there's something very important about that. And all of the talk about a new, quote-unquote, treaty or agreement or convention or international instrument or whatever they want to call it, I see as a decoy. I see it as a distraction and a way of confusing people. So everything I'm going to be saying today is about the proposed amendments to the International Health Regulations.
And we'll honor that. Let's go with it.
They've proposed, meaning the nations of the world, okay, officially they say 16 nations have submitted proposed amendments, the United States being one of them. But that actually expands dramatically because the Czech Republic proposed amendments on behalf of the 27 nations of the EU. A little tiny nation called Eswatini submitted proposed amendments on behalf of 47 nations in Africa. Russia submitted on behalf of 5 nations in their economic federation, and Uruguay submitted on behalf of 4 nations in South America. So all told, there's about 90 nations who have submitted proposed amendments. And, you know, you could look at that as an attempted worldwide coup to try to take over control of the WHO. And the way I see it, it's a soap opera. You know, each nation, you know, gimme, 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 gimme. This nation wants that. The United States wants something else. The EU, and this is probably the most important one, the EU wants a global digital health certificate. Their proposed amendments that are most concerning are about having a digital surveillance mechanism to have traveler locator forms so they can track and trace people if you go visit them. They want to have testing certificates. And I don't even refer to what they've been doing, the PCR. That's not a test. That's a process that's masquerading as a test. They want to have vaccine certificates. They want to have prophylaxis or prevention certificates. And, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean you have to take some drug prophylactically? I mean, who knows, right? It's not defined. None of these terms are actually defined legally. And they want to have a recovery certificate. All that wrapped up with a QR code that could be either on your phone where they could really track and trace you, or in nations where phones and digital surveillance is not as big, they just have a paper backup. And that is a direct violation of all kinds of rules in the United States, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, you know, patient privacy rights and essentially the Fourth Amendment right to privacy that is supposed to be protected by the government. So our government even considering engaging us in that is a violation of our unalienable right to privacy. But it also comes all the way down to the 10th Amendment, where the federal government really doesn't have authority to speak for the states, because the states have essentially control over health, health law, as well as we the people. And so all of these various nations have proposed over 300, by their count, they say 307 amendments to 33 of the 66 articles in the existing regulations. They would add 6 new articles and 1 new annex. They're also amending the 9 annexes to the 66 articles. But at the same time, they say they don't want to reopen the entire international health regulations for review. These are focused amendments. Okay. So if you can figure that one out, Peter, let me know. It seems a little bit contradictory. This week so far, they had a secret meeting Monday morning that they didn't record. Then they had a brief little meeting about scheduling and so forth. But the person who was the raconteur of the International Health Regulations Review Committee presented their final report. And I have to give her credit. She did a wonderful presentation. She had a nice PowerPoint, very professionally done, explained the 97-page review of these 197 pages worth of proposed amendments. And so, in my opinion, because everything there that I just said so far is verifiable factual evidence, in my opinion, the final report had a lot of very interesting snippets in it they said, you know, technical things like, well, you know, this maybe belongs in a different article and that's redundant with this and so forth. But they also said some things like, really? Now, this is not in the report that they did, the presentation, the PowerPoint. This was in the actual report. They essentially said, in regards to India's proposed amendment, to cross out respect for dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms. The report, in my, you know, my own language, the committee said, "What are you thinking? You can't do that, right? That's crazy, right?" They also reported on some of the amendments that would change Article 1's definition of standing and temporary recommendations, which currently are defined as non-binding advice. They would cross out the word non-binding. And when you couple that with Malaysia's change to Article 42, it would make recommendations be mandatory as opposed to, you know, what is a recommendation? It's advice that you can follow or not follow. And so I don't know how close we're getting to a time break that you might have to take right now, but I can go on and on about the many different proposed amendments. They're an absolute abomination, many of them. But my suspicion is that in negotiations, a lot of times people will put in things that are just crazy so that they can be negotiated away. You move the Overton window to get people thinking about crazy stuff. And then you slip in the thing that you wanted all along, which was crazy to begin with, but compared to the ultra crazy stuff, people go, well, okay, mm-hmm. You know, sure, we'll have a global digital health certificate. You can track and trace everybody on the planet and determine what they can and cannot do based on what you command them to do to their body.
I don't think we can predict. They may find as they go along that they can go for everything. I mean, these are vicious, violent people. But I think your point's well taken. They can always just be happy with that, having shifted the Overton window to the point where they're getting more and more. I think this is incredibly important, what you're talking about. We've only got about 50 seconds left right now. Ginger, did you have any thoughts at all about this? Okay, this is new information for us, folks. We are learning today about the latest changes from Monday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're giving this hot information out. One quick thing, could they possibly get this to a vote by May, the end of May, which is when the World Health Assembly meets?
I'm optimistic that the answer is that they won't.
Okay.
But I trust him about as far as I can throw him.
Well, so. I think that's right. They will do what they can get away with. That is my major lesson about global predators. They will do what they can get away with. We're talking to amazing James Roguski. We will be back in a minute. Peter and Gingerbread.
Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Make sure you go to our website and check the banner bars. The banner bars to the sponsors, when you click on them, automatically give you a discount on products I like especially. Healthy Cell REM Sleep Supplement for a great night's sleep. I took it last night. No wonder I feel so good today. Check out Healthy Cell and go to our website, banner bar, to get a discount off your first purchase. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Welcome back to America Out Loud Pulse with James Roguski, an amazing and devoted and thank God he's there human being, and Peter Bregan and Ginger Bregan, again on America Out Loud. Now, the information that was just given, folks, if you've missed it, is extremely important, and I might even just, it's so important, I might just ask James to actually summarize it for a minute or two. We are moving into the possibility in this coming May of toward the end of having a vote of the governing board of the World Health Organization that will enable it to destroy the sovereignty of nations. And I know for a fact that that's what they're trying to do, because in another context where they're making changes, they say they will respect the sovereignty of nations unless they find that the sovereignty is harmful to their own people or to other nations. Ginger.
I have a thought. And James, one thing that I think that we need to remind people of is that the WHO is empowered by a senior body, a body that's senior to it. And that's the United Nations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the United Nations has its own military force. They're referred to casually, I think, as the Blue Helmets, because mm-hmm. they have those sky blue yes. helmets. And in the past, we've all seen the United Nations send the Blue Helmets into troubled areas. I think Bosnia was one at one point.
Yeah, Africa, Israel.
Africa has had Blue Helmet intervention, and that's been voted on by the United Nations. The United States is a member of the United Nations. But the point that I want to make here is that the World Health Organization doesn't have its own military, but it's backed up by its senior body that has empowered them. And that senior body is the United Nations, and they have a military force. The other point is that, of course, most of the nations of the world are members of the United Nations, and the U.S. does not necessarily always get its way in the U.N. There are many and complex forces, and there are both competitors and there are, I believe, enemies of the United States and freedom who are part of the United Nations. So there's no guarantee that the freedom-loving nations and the democracies and the constitutional republics are going to be protected necessarily by the UN. I don't think that that's the overriding concept or purpose of the UN. Peter?
I want to take that a step further, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, but that's almost slightly a misinformation on your part. We are no longer a constitutional democracy.
Well, yes, that's
and
true.
And one
too.
Of the armies they will have to enforce anything that the United Nations wants is Joe Biden and the U.S. Army.
Oh my God, yes, you're right. You're right.
To face this that we forget, you and I at times, how dreadful.
So they don't even need to send in the Blue Helmets to the United States?
No.
Oh, boy.
No, not as long as we are continuing to go down this dreadful hill.
And you're right.
Yeah. So let's, but thank you.
For so I felt like it was important to show where the teeth are in this. And there, because
there are even more teeth than that. A part of the United Nations is the World Bank. The World Bank is a quote affiliated. It's basically a part of the UN. The World Bank is perhaps the major supporter of empowering the WHO. The Committee on Empowering the WHO is a committee with the World Bank. So we then you get into the kinds of things that were done to Russia by the international,
like with sanctions,
globalist, whatever. Yes, taking away rights and
financial sanctions and yeah. Okay.
So we're really looking.
So there's a lot of different kinds of teeth.
There's a lot of different kinds of teeth that are now there. So let's go on again with James, and I think we got the power up, assuming. The way I view it, James, we have to power up, assuming that we're going to have a vote on this not very far from now, during the end of May, toward the end of May. And even if we don't, we need to get everything going to stop this, because this destroys the world. It makes us a totalitarian
world. As we know
world.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to comment on what Ginger said about, you know, the enforcement. Okay. And I'll repeat what I said at the beginning of the first segment. Okay. This will be seemingly contradictory. I'm very optimistic about it, but I think it's worse than what you just said. Okay. And the problem is the enforcement are all of the hypnotized people that live in your community.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
and
right.
So,
oh, that's good, James. That's so important. Go
if
ahead.
If it's the local police force or your local city council or school board or whatever it may be, right?
Yeah.
I'll give an example. I may have spoken about this
before. By the way, I don't like the word hypnotized, because that goes along with the mass psychosis and all that. They're terrified. They're compliant. They're overwhelmed.
How about propagandized? I'll go with propagandized.
But add fear, because people are frightened to death.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And so about a year ago or so, we ordered something online, and rather than have it be delivered to the house, they had it go to a local package pickup location. So I got an email, and my girlfriend pointed it out to me because she knew it would get my goat. And at the bottom of it, it had instructions about, well, you know, you should wear a mask and you should social distance when you come to pick up your package. And that information was from the WHO.
Nah.
So the WHO has found its way all the way into my email to go pick up a package a couple of blocks from where I live. And now I know that they don't have any authority over me. And so it made me laugh. It got me infuriated. I probably worked a little harder that evening to just keep doing what I'm doing. But many people, they're, oh my God, you know, the WHO said I have to do this. No, it's a recommendation. Okay, if they get their way with the things that have been proposed, then it could be by order of the Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus.
That's right.
That's very different. And so there is such a soap opera going on within all of the delegates and the WHO and the review committee and all of these many, many things. Let me get into some of the actual proposals that they're talking about. We talked about one where India would just cross out respect for dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms. And in our soundbite world, do you need any more than that? That somebody would even put that in writing, that would be eliminated from an existing document? Now, for anybody who is unaware of all of this stuff, let me just tell you, a little bit more than a year ago, if you had asked me, Jim, what do you think about the proposed amendments to the international health regulations? I would have said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay. So a year ago, this did not exist in my world. So anybody who hasn't had the experience that I've had, last year, I found the IHRs. I downloaded the document. I started reading it. The first article is a bunch of definitions. I'm like, okay, great. You know, now I know what the words mean, right? Article 2 was the scope of the regulation, and it still is the scope of the regulations. Well, some of the proposed changes, actually many of the proposed changes, would say that the Director General could declare an emergency if something had the potential
exactly
to be an emergency.
Yeah.
And you can't look at that language and think, well, that could be anything he wants it to be. It's very Humpty Dumpty, Alice going down into the rabbit hole. It is the year of the rabbit, so I find myself in the rabbit hole digging up all these turds from, you know, the WHO. If you can redefine what words mean, then you can do anything. And this is exactly what they're doing. And so now it's not that an emergency is, oh, we have evidence and people are dying or they're sick or the hospitals are filling up. It's like, no, there's potentially something. So I'm going to say something that I don't want to encourage, but I think the fact that something didn't happen is actually evidence, right? And that's a little backwards. And you might have to think about this for a little bit. But according to what they're trying to implement, since I've seen reports that after, I don't know if I ever told you this, Peter and Ginger, but I grew up just east of Youngstown, Ohio, which is just a little tiny bit north of East Palestine, Ohio.
Mm.
And so, you know, I have a familiarity with that. I still have family back there. Well, my understanding is that some of the toxins that were released in the fire crossed the Canadian border, and there's some evidence that it rained down on Ontario.
Wow.
I see. Well, I would have thought that the focal point from the United States would have alerted the WHO that there was a potential health emergency of international concern. That's what the whole darn thing is for. We've got a problem here in Ohio. Well, you would want to tell Pennsylvania and West Virginia and, you know, Kentucky and everywhere, you know, anywhere else nearby. But what about New York? What about Ontario? On the very last day, the very last full day of the Obama administration, January 19th, 2017, the CDC changed they had a final ruling go into the Federal Register, and they redefined a number of words. And one of the words they redefined was a public health emergency in the United States. And so if the Director General in the WHO declares a public health emergency of international concern for any reason, because there's something potentially could be a problem, the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services would have all of the justification that he would need to declare a public health emergency in the United States. Did these jokers do that when what happened in Ohio happened in Ohio? They had every reason to do so. This is what this system is for. But my interpretation of it is, well, there weren't any pharmaceutical products that could be sold to address this. So there's no money to be made. So there's no emergency. And now I'm not encouraging them to have the power to willy-nilly be declaring an emergency. But when you see an event happen and they don't take this, you know, action, I mean, I grew up with, you know, tornado alarms, and, you know, every week the siren would go off to test it. You know, what I'm seeing is a lot of Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, but this time the sky was falling. Okay. You know, I see a lot of the boy crying wolf. Oh, there's a pandemic. There's a problem. There's, you know, trauma. But when something actually happens that people should be alerted about, they conveniently just don't do anything. They go to Africa or they go to Ukraine or whatever. They're anywhere else but where the actual problem is. And, you know, I don't know the ultimate reason, but if there isn't any money to be made in the situation, you have to follow the dollars. And so what I'd like to talk about is, you mentioned the World Bank. So in Article 44A, it's a new proposed article proposed by the nations in Africa. They want to have a new funding mechanism. And in the proposed amendment, it literally says, I have to admit, it made me chuckle. They said that, well, we'll give you the details on this 24 months after you adopt it. And it's like, hey, people, do you need a clue that somebody's up to something? Okay. Let's change international law and we'll work out the details about the money 2 months down the road or 2 years down the road, right? Well, what I see is fund envy, okay? The World Bank has, back in September, along with the United States, announced their new pandemic fund. Go back a year before that, in September of 2021, Kamala Harris, as part of the Biden administration, was put out to talk about how the U.S. had pledged $850 million to the pandemic fund. And they were seeking additional countries to donate money. And they were seeking $10 or $11 billion, you know, to help nations prepare for something in the future. Well, they actually failed miserably. They only got maybe matching pledges. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was part of it, the Rockefeller Organization, the Wellcome Trust. They ended up with about $1.5 billion. And in September, they announced that they were moving forward, even though they failed miserably. They sugarcoated it. And then at the G20, the Indonesian health minister, who is not a doctor, he's a banker, he announced, in addition to being proud that they were going to try to put through their proposed amendments on the international health regulations to have a global digital health certificate, he also put forth the fact that we have this $10 billion fund for pandemic preparedness. And he told the audience, go invest. It's a great business opportunity.
Yes.
And that's what we're dealing with here, people. It's a business opportunity to build out the pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex. They don't care about your health. They're just trying to make money. And they want to make products in Africa so that they can make African people take the drugs and the injections because they haven't killed enough of them yet.
I think this is an amazing conversation with James Roguski. I would add power to wealth. Power. I suspect that one of the reasons they didn't do it is, as Ginger has taught me, these people work by nudging. And I think it would have been a bit too much of a nudge, too obvious, too terrifying, if it had come out that they had the capacity to make a health emergency in the world now because of this, what happened. On the other hand, their behavior is so bizarre, not even going to look at what's going on, that I think God knows what motivates these people from one time to another.
There's one other thing, and that is there's a hypothesis I've seen on social media that as awful and as big a disaster as the Ohio toxic spill and spread is, that may have been actually done as a distraction from what's going on with WHO this week. So, and that's a possibility.
Yeah,
I think,
I'm sure you agree. It's really hard to know what they will manipulate, but it's not just money, not even close to that. I think it's power, probably even more than money for many of these people. Bill Gates doesn't need another car. He doesn't need any more money, but he has an unlimited lust for power. This is amazing. We are going to take a break again from America Out Loud Pulse. James Roguski, Peter Bregan, and Ginger Bregan.
We are fighting the ultimate fight between good and evil. AmericaOutLoud.com replaces groupthink with innovative think. Well, it was Walt Whitman, the poet, who said, "Keep your face always toward the sunshine, and shadows will fall behind you." America Out Loud Talk Radio, the liberty and justice for all.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Well, folks, I hope you'll never be the same again after hearing the information breaking within the last day or two that Ginger and I did not know about, talking about the movement toward the amendments of the Constitution, the health regulations, in particular, of the World Health Organization.
I'd like to say one thing.
Yeah.
And that is, and something that occurs to me, and that is that I think we need to be very explicit about the fact that what's going on with the World Health Organization no longer has to do with health. It is completely being done in order to control the world. And it is being used as a control mechanism for the world.
Exactly.
Anything now, according to the World Health Organization definitions, can be defined as a health issue. Climate is a health issue.
Gender is a health issue.
Gender is a health issue. Racism is a health issue. And that needs to be so explicit and clear to all of us. We have to we have to take off the rosy colored glasses. We have to take off our post-COVID glasses, if you will, and recognize that there is a bold and very obvious kind of a manipulation going on, actually probably a lot of them. And they're going on at an international level, and their biggest goal is to destroy democracy and our constitutional republic, what remains of it, in order to be able to manage the entire world. And you're smiling, Jim. Yes.
I want to ask Peter a question.
Yeah.
Peter, do you know of any predators who are concerned about the health of their prey?
Yeah, good point.
Well, I think maybe when we gave up being hunters and gatherers and we started keeping animals, that would be the one exception. When we're already using our animals that we're going to be taking milk and wool from and meat from and arms and legs from, we start to be a little bit concerned. Are we concerned about their freedom?
Mr.
Their
meat eater, the graphicness.
The free, they're not interested even then with their freedom and their needs to be with their young or their desires for their mothers. They don't care anything about the spiritual state or the feelings of these creatures.
That's not fair. There are farmers who really care.
He's got another question.
Yes.
Would you liken a farm, you know, where animals, a ranch where animals are being raised, to a 15-minute city where the animals have everything they think they need, you know, within probably 5 minutes? It's like a 5-minute city. You get your food over here, your water over there. You got everything you need. But Ginger actually mentioned something that I'm very pleased that you brought up, because it's something that nobody at these meetings is talking about. They had a meeting, the WHO did, September 21st of last year. And it was called a informal focused consultation. They had a whole bunch of experts. And one of the questions that the WHO moderator asked the experts was, what metrics could the WHO enforce upon the, you know, nations, the member nations, to determine whether or not they were prepared to prevent anything coming, you know, bad in the future? And the experts pretty much said, yeah, we don't know. You would have thought that the metrics that they were using prior to 2020, that Northern Italy and Spain and Portugal and Germany and the UK and the United States, with all their hospitals and medical technology and money and resources, and, you know, they can print all the money they want, you would have thought that those nations would have done well. But I actually published an article a month and a half ago. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is that in Africa, which most Americans don't think about this, but there are four times as many people in Africa as in the United States. There's 1.2 billion people. I mean, you can roughly think China and India and Africa have similar populations, but that there's even fewer people in all of North and South America. Okay. And so you don't think of that as being more sparsely populated than Africa. People think about the Sahara Desert and the savannas and all that, but there's an awful lot of people in Africa. But 16 times as many people in North and South America, according to the WHO's own published statistics, their death over the last 3 years were attributed to COVID when compared to Africa. So why are the African delegates arguing for equity in regards to pandemic response products? Are they trying to kill 16 times as many Africans? I wonder. Okay. You would think that Europe and North and South America would be going and asking doctors like, you know, Dr. Shankaracheti and Dr. Rapidi and many others across, what did you do or what did you not do that made it so that one out of, you know, whatever the number is, you know, a tiny little percentage of Africans died due to COVID, and 16 times and maybe 30 times as many Europeans died. What's not being discussed at these meetings becomes readily apparent when you realize that the international health regulations should not be named the international health regulations. They should be named the International Surveillance Reporting Monitoring Emergency Declaring Fear-Mongering Control Regulations. And then it all makes sense. They're negotiating how to better control the things that they weren't able to control, because all they were able to do was make recommendations. They want to be able to command everybody to do what they want to do, but they're not having, and unfortunately this phrase is appropriate, they're not doing a post-mortem analysis of what the heck just went wrong for 3 years. Nope. Everything we did was great. Let's do more. Let's up it by an order of magnitude. Let's take our recommendations and make them legally binding obligations. Annex 10 submitted as an amendment to the proposed amendment to the International Health Regulations is titled Obligations of a Duty to Cooperate. And it essentially says that developed nations shall build state-of-the-art facilities in developing nations. Now, they don't define either of those terms, but they're arguing for equity. They're saying, oh, you bought up all the shots, you bought up all the drugs, you know, the remdesivir and the midazolam and the Paxlovid and the molnupiravir, you got all of that. We didn't get as much, and you got, you know, enough jabs to jab everybody 10 times. And the insanity of not doing a simple postmortem analysis of what happened. They keep talking about taking, you know, an action on based on lessons learned. Well, you know, whatever the word is for people who don't ever learn a life lesson, that's what we're dealing with the people who are negotiating to give sovereign control from their nations to the WHO. They haven't learned a darn thing. And when their experts said, we don't know how to measure preparedness, we have no metrics. They literally said, we owe it to ourselves to study this further because what happened didn't align with the metrics we had been using. So they could not tell the WHO what metrics they could or should use to enforce. But that didn't stop them, okay? Because they don't want to know. because it's really not about health at all.
Right.
It's predators trying to put their prey into an even more vulnerable position under, you know, more fences, more control. They want to treat us like animals, like cattle, and be in charge of doing whatever it is they want to do. You're the psychiatrist, or, you know, you tell me how you define people who behave that way. But if you had a patient who was in an abusive relationship and the abuser was attempting to get legal control over the dealings of the abused person, and they were trying to get paperwork signed, and the silence of that abused person would be viewed as consent to hand over legal control. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what I would say is get out of that relationship. Exit the WHO. These people are dangerous.
I was just going to ask you what your solution was.
Exit the who.com is another article that I'm always working on. And Representative Andy Biggs has proposed into the Congress House Resolution 79, which has a very simple title, Withdraw from the WHO. Okay, it's actually the WHO Withdrawal Act. Okay. It's readable. It's only like 30 lines, right? We're going to leave. We're not going to give any more money to the WHO, and we're leaving. And we're going to repeal the piece of legislation that got us into the WHO in the first place.
Good.
If you're in an abusive relationship, do you want to try to negotiate with terrorists? Do you want to try to get a better deal from your abuser? Or do you think it's time to leave?
So yeah, totally.
Exit the who.com. I encourage people to go there. Every day I do two Zooms that everyone is invited to at 3 p.m. Eastern and 10 p.m. Eastern. I give everybody my phone number. So here I go. 310-619-3055. I'm that serious about it. But if you go to stoptheglobalagenda.com, maybe I should have called it Stop the Global Predators. Maybe you want to grab that one. But it's stoptheglobalagenda.com. It has all the information anybody needs. And the idea is they are treating us as if we're fully informed. And if we don't push back and say no, then our silence is viewed as consent. So I actually have another page that I'm working on, silenceequalsconsent.com. And I'm inviting everybody to just take out your phone. You guys may not have ever thought about this, but we're using Zoom. You can create a Zoom meeting, invite yourself, hit the record button, say whatever you want to say, stop the recording, and Zoom will put a video of what you just said on your desktop. Anybody can get their camera and record whatever they want to say about this topic and post it on, you know, whatever video channel you want. Back in September, I did that about the treaty. Now, this is about the amendments that we're talking about. And I got 300 or 400 people who submitted comments. And those are all up on screwthewho.com. So if you want to hear, if you want to hear what people around the world had to say back in September, okay, because this is not a surprise to anybody who's been in the know, I was abundantly impressed by regular people condensing their thoughts and presenting their ideas very coherently, but emotionally and authoritatively, saying, no, we don't want this. And so I encourage everybody to do exactly that. You don't need my permission. Maybe you need my encouragement, but take your phone, take your laptop, take whatever camera you may have, and speak your opinion out into the universe, because they think that your silence means that you're giving your consent. And so stop that, okay? Just tell them that they do not have your permission to take over the world, right? And that you demand that your dignity and your human rights and your fundamental freedoms be respected. Because if you don't, no one is going to know. And that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping that this just happens quietly, and nobody says anything. Well, I'm not quiet. I'm speaking up, and I encourage everybody to do the same.
It's a brilliant analysis. In our new book, we're working on very similar themes. I don't believe in psychiatrically diagnosing these people. I believe in diagnosing them as predators, looking at their qualities as predators. In our own book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, I've got a section on what are the characteristics of predators, something I wrote about over the years doing so many legal cases and trying to distinguish between people who were brain injured and predators, people who took psychiatric drugs and went bonkers versus predators. And it's a very useful way, I believe, of looking at people. And it's the same. And the model is just as specific, as you said, for domestic abusers. They simply have more narrow ambitions and more narrow abilities.
They want to run the family instead of the world.
That's right. And if not stopped, they simply continue and grow worse with time and take more advantage. And like the, just as you said, if they really take advantage in any way they can, whatever their ability is. And by our seeming to consent, not fighting back openly, we are giving them a carte blanche. They will treat us like the most abused child on the face of the earth, never mind a wife or a husband. We will be like the most severely abused children on earth, frightened, intimidated, guilt-ridden, shame and anxiety-ridden. So the models for abuse are very consistent from Joe Biden and the people who abuse him and control him on down to the everyday citizens trying to grow up in this country. And here's a little six-month-old getting injected with poisons that they're masquerading as vaccines. So I'm very, by the way, impressed. I feel like you have been getting larger and larger in your conceptualizations, or you're voicing them more clearly over the time you've been involved in this.
He's had a lot of practice now.
Yeah, but you're just doing a great, great job. James Roguski, R-O-G-U-S-K-I, and your phone number again?
Is 310-619-3055. I'm a messenger, but I encourage everybody else to pick up the message, make it your own, and be the media. The media, we mentioned something about some other stories and things. My personal opinion is that absolutely everything on the media or reported, quote unquote, reported by the media may very well be a real event, but it is used to distract you from whatever it is that they're not reporting, okay? Now, they'll report on many things. They'll talk about the treaty, but until you hear them specifically giving you the details of the proposed amendments to the international health regulations and telling you that the Senate is not going to have anything to say about it and the president doesn't need to sign it, if the World Health Assembly simply quietly adopts them, they become international law. Let me know when you hear somebody in the media tell you that. Everything else is a distraction.
Thank you so much. We will continue to be in touch with you and to have you back. Wonderful James Roguski.